You're tuned to Vibes FM. I am Sarah C, and today's special guest is pretty fresh in the business and already barely needs an introduction. She has the energy and spirit of an undisputed world champion heavyweight boxer. Lila Ike has a new project out called The Experience, and I don't want to dismiss all the hard work she must have done, but she's making it look easy. Lila Ike, welcome to Vibes FM.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, we're so pleased to be able to catch up with you because you are on everybody's list at the moment.
And, sure.
Do you know what I really want to know? And this is the thing that's been driving me mad about you, because you don't seem to have put that many songs out, and yet the standard is as if you've been doing it forever. Do you have a secret stash of songs?
You know, I have, to be honest, been doing it forever. It's just that professionally I started recording in 2017. And so when I put out my first song, things kind of just spiraled from there. So I've definitely been writing and been just jamming and creating with my friends for long before that. So I do have ideas stashed away, you know, for sure.
So you've got something. And I read somewhere that you actually started singing just to make your mom happy.
Yeah, I initially pursued singing because, one, it's something that I really like doing, but I had decided to really do it and try to do it as professional and extremely well as possible because, you know, I really wanted my mother to be pleased with what I was doing. You know, I was going to university. I had to stop due to, like, monetary obligations. And so I was like, whatever else it is that I go through within life, it needs to be something that my mom doesn't necessarily have to be in the country worrying about me about. And so that's the approach I took when making music.
What did you do at university?
I was studying to be a teacher, so my subject areas were linguistic courses and business-oriented courses.
Oh, so that was really helped with the communication, wouldn't it, I'm sure, and the songwriting?
For sure. You know, the main thing that they teach you when you go to school for teaching is psychology. So you get to understand how to just basically break down knowledge in a manner that it can reach a mass as easily and as easily as possible, and also to just complete the whole communication process. So I think what I got from that is understanding how to connect with people.
Yeah, definitely, and how to get your idea across in a way that everybody can understand it.
For sure.
Now, you've also tapped into so many different sounds and different eras. And I heard an interview where you said you really like working with the new young producers. And I thought, that's outrageous. So I was really pleased when I got your EP and found that you've also got a nod. There's plenty of nods to the foundation artists as well. So you've actually managed to balance all of that and make it sound like you meant it as an album. It's unbelievable.
I'd like to think, you know, it all happened naturally. I was in studio with people that, first and foremost, I'm 100% comfortable with. So there's no me being in there wondering, oh, I don't want to sing it this way because I'm afraid it doesn't sound good. It's like everybody that I go to studio with are just as exciting about experimenting with different sounds as I am. So it was just a natural thing, and I knew most of them for a while. So it was a joy for us to be together working on something that we knew would have been, you know, a big deal. So that energy alone, I think, put into the music definitely gave it the edge that it has, you know, as a quote-unquote EP, you know, for sure.
Brilliant. Would you say you were a naturally organized person?
I think I grew into becoming an organized person, to be honest. Like, definitely I grew into it. My younger years, I was very much just, I'd like to say my surroundings would have been a representation of what happens in my head. Like, I get spurs of different, just being excited about different things. Like, one minute I'm into playing the guitar, and then I want to learn the piano, and then, you know, I want to start to learn to skate. It's like I get very excited about things very easily. And so that sometimes you really have to just take a step back and slow down and master a thing at a time. And I think that's what I've been spending the last 3 years doing. So right now I would say I'm way more organized than I was before.
Yeah, because I was thinking that about, I mean, you could almost have called it the experiment, not the experience.
Well, for sure.
Because it really feels like you've tried a little bit of everything and you do seem to dip in and out of loads of different things.
Yeah, you know, it's like for me, I've always loved different genres of music. So I listened to a lot of soul growing up. I listened to a lot of dancehall, a lot of reggae. And my main thing was, how can I bring all of this into my vibe and my style and my sound? That way, every individual who might be a fan of a particular genre, not necessarily into another one, they still have something to take from my music. And so I feel that is why the experience sounds the way it does, because that was my main goal. And also to just show people that, you know, when expecting music from me or listening to my music, you just really have to have an open mind. You know, I'm pretty sure a lot of people didn't expect a song like Solitude to be on the project, but
no,
it was.
Definitely not. And how lovely to hear a violin in reggae.
For sure. It's like one of the producers, Zaya, that's his thing. You know, he basically taught himself how to play the violin. And when I met him and he told me the story of how he learned, I was just very impressed with the fact that, you know, a young man in high school, many young men in high school, their main thing is probably getting into athletics or, you know, being preoccupied with girls. But he kind of had the time out to... The violin is not an easy instrument to learn to play. It's not like a guitar where you can take it up and pluck something and it sounds good. The violin takes an extra effort. And so I was like, if this young man spends that time working on this and mastering it, then this is definitely somebody I want around me. And then he was in studio with us. He's also an exceptional producer, you know, who worked on a lot of major songs. And, you know, the violin is his thing. So I was like, you need to get a moment also to show people that, you know, this is your thing also.
Yeah, well, Solitude is also a vibe, isn't it? Is it true that you locked off your phone on release day?
I did, actually. On release day, I was at the river, phone off. I spend a lot of time with my phone in airplane mode, to be honest. I find that it kind of just, I don't spend as much time on like Instagram and Twitter as much. And so that gives me more time in solitude with myself and organizing my thoughts and analyzing my emotions. I feel like those things definitely help you to just understand the different stimuli and also get the opportunity to break that down properly and present your interpretation of it to people. So I do spend a lot of time off my phone, and I like not having to talk to people all the time. Or, you know, I get enough attention being on stage, being in studio. It's like being on interviews. It never stops for an artist. You're constantly serving people. So I just feel more time for self is very important.
I think it's true of everybody. I'd love to pretend I read this in a book, but I actually saw it on YouTube only yesterday. And it was a guy saying exactly that. You need to make time to relax, to turn it all off, because it's stress. And if you turn it all off, it turns the stress off. And so that in those times when you are switched on, you're actually more creative and more productive. And it's counterintuitive that actually turning your phone off for a couple of hours a day is better for you, and you'll actually get more done. So I think you might be definitely onto something there.
You do. It's like you have your phone on for the day. It's like sometimes you don't necessarily even have anything to do online. You just find yourself scrolling for hours. That happens to me. So I just kind of be more proactive and be like, all right, I don't sleep with my phone on. I don't wake up immediately and check my phone. I leave my phone in the living room. So when I wake up, I get time for just being peace.
100%. You've got to set your own day, or somebody else will set it for you. And most likely, they won't have your best interest at heart. Now, can we just talk a little bit about music pre-indignation? because I feel that's the bit that gets talked about the least. I saw you with Toddler T in the record shop downtown doing a freestyle a few years ago, and that was, I think, the first time that I really saw you do a freestyle.
Yeah, I remember they reached out to me. I didn't even know it was going to be a cypher, whereas there were other people there. I was just told, you know, Toddler T wants to do a kind of vibe with you. And so I made it downtown. Couldn't even find the place for a while. I was the last person to arrive just before they started. So I was basically, I had to just jump in and immediately start to vibe. And that was both, you know, it was a rush. It was scary at first because for a minute my mind was just blank. And I was like, all right, what am I going to sing about? And, you know, I saw Black Hero, I saw Lena Banton. Those are two youths that I'm very familiar with. You know, we spend a whole heap of time together just vibing. So I got a little bit more comfortable and everything else just flowed.
It was amazing. It didn't show at all that you were feeling that way.
Yeah, you know, that's the story of my life. A lot of times people see me on stage and they're like, wow, you're so confident up there, but it's always like a storm, you know, a storm before the calm, to be honest.
Yeah, I always think it's like a swan, isn't it? It looks so majestic, but you can't see all the furious paddling under the water.
For sure.
That's how I think of that. So you got to Indignation. How did that actually happen? Did Protégé just say you? You're the one. Because he has amazing taste, I have to say.
He does have amazing taste, and he definitely always constantly has an ear out for new talent, you know?
One of his amazing skills, apart from music, is organization and leadership. He seems to have the best of everyone. You got Danny Basie on the guitar. You know it's going well.
For sure. Trust me, that is facts. So how I got acquainted with Protégé, I have a friend that I went to high school with, and she ended up working for him. So she basically was telling him about me before I moved to Kingston. And then when I did, she invited me. It was just around the time when he was about to release Ancient Future. And so she invited me to his launch, or a pre-album listening before it got to the launch. So a very intimate setting. And so, you know, he's playing his music and everything. And when it was over, she introduced us and she told him, this is who I'm talking about. And he's saying, oh, so you're a singer? And I was like, yeah, you know, I do my thing. And he's like, all right, hopefully soon I'll be able to hear something. And I told him, yeah, eventually you will. And I think a year and a half later, I had recorded a song that I didn't put out, but my friend had it, and I think she played it for him. And at that point, I was kind of getting popular around the area because I'm doing a lot of jam sessions. I'm going to Jamnesia, which is a popular spot in the reggae community for discovering talents, you know, Chronics, Janine, everybody went there.
Yeah.
And so it became a thing. People started looking forward to seeing me out there every other weekend. And so, you know, obviously news got to him. People are posting it and stuff. So he saw it and he reached out to me and he's like, yo, you know, I heard the song your friend sent me. I really think there's a lot of potential. Let's link up and see, you know, what are your goals? And so I met up with him at his home studio. We were talking for a while, you know, just getting to know each other. He played a rhythm and I just started freestyling and he recorded me. I didn't even know he was recording until after I was done, and he played it back and he was like, trust me. That in that session, actually, Biggest Fan and Gotti Gotti came about and he was like, he's very impressed and he thinks I have a bright future in music and he would like to help me to get, you know, to get to where I need to be. And a year after that, I signed to his label and, you know, we put out Biggest Fan.
I heard, actually, you like to vibe out like Gregory. Gregory would go to the studio, wouldn't he, with nothing written at all and just vibe out the whole song. Is that kind of thing you do?
Yeah, for me, it's like I hear a rhythm, I don't immediately think, let me get a book and a pencil or a pen. It's more like I just start singing. And out of that singing, sometimes a song, a whole song will come about. Sometimes a piece of a song, sometimes just melodies. And I kind of just sometimes record them. Sometimes I don't even remember them. You know, it just happens naturally for me.
It's amazing. And the steps continue. Honestly, you're making this look so easy. But they describe skill as making a hard job look easy. So we're going to say you've got skill rather than it is easy. So the next step is the RCA 6-course deal. And Archie Davis was the kind of the guy at the urban arm of Interscope Records. And he got to RCA and they said that he could have his own label 6-course so that he could still look for the people that he loved to work with. And that's where you guys come in, isn't it? So he found you indignation.
Yeah. Actually, what happened was Protégé was in LA, and I think he got introduced to Archie's cousin, who is AK. And so AK met Protégé and was like, yo, man, I really love your music. And so initially they were interested in signing Protégé. So AK introduced Protégé to Archie. Archie came to their show that they had in London with Chronics and everybody, you know, saw him perform in flesh. Savannah was also there. And so they started talking about signing Protégé. But Protégé was more about, you know, how about getting my label on board, because I also managed two other artists. And he played them our music, me and Savannah, and they were blown away. And they decided to, you know, let's work. Like, what do you want? You know, she presented, you know, getting the label signed, and, you know, the rest is history.
It's amazing. And imagine that you got to be the first one out the gate with a project.
Yeah, I actually met Archie probably a year after that, or a couple months after. I was in LA and Protégé set it up so that we could meet. And, you know, obviously he wanted me to kind of get a feel of who we're going to be working with and tell, you know, just my opinion on Archie as a person and the whole thing. And so I went to LA, I went to Archie's, he had a studio where, you know, they do painting and play music. And I met him and I was just like, whoa, this guy is just down for the cause. You know, his whole thing is not necessarily, obviously he's about to start his own label under RCA and he wants the best for himself. But, you know, I could see that he is a fan of our music and love. He can see the vision that Protégé is trying to put together, you know? And at that point, he didn't hear any unreleased music from me, just stuff that was out. So I played him I Spy, and he was blown away. He's like, oh my God, he called Protégé immediately, because Diggy told me after I left, he called him, and he was like, how come he didn't play me I Spy? But Protégé wasn't really familiar with I Spy, because it was just a demo I had that I sent to him, but sometimes he doesn't really check his messages like that. And so he was like, yo, you know, Archie called me, he loved I Spy, sent it back to me. And, you know, I was very moved that they decided to use my single to be the first thing that comes out after announcing the label deal. It really showed me that, you know, they really and truly believe in my talent, because I was expecting them to say Protégé first. He's the bigger artist, the more established artist. But they decided to, you know, let me launch out.
I think it's confidence, isn't it? I think it's confidence, yours and theirs. And I think it's beautiful. And I can already see the next step. I know Protégé did some work with Alicia Keys and Swizz Beatz. And I know there's got to be more in that vein coming for everyone. Tell me it's not true.
No, for sure. Some really amazing works coming for sure. Protégé's and Savannah's project, I'm just as excited about it. Some really cool features on it, some you know, very, very nice production. And obviously, as soon as we have conquered this whole world crisis that we're going through right now, then we can definitely start to connect with producers outside of Jamaica and different artists and all of that that's in the works.
It's actually wonderful. I drew a map. There are now so many artists doing work with major labels, and I feel that reggae is having a resurgence similar to that of the 70s, and that I think a lot of major labels now are going to be looking for reggae. I'm sure that's what's happening. And even just in terms of the clash with Beanie and Bounty, everyone is surprised that Jamaicans have so much spirit, whereas we knew that all along.
Definitely. You know, and I think they do know, you know, I think they do know that Jamaica is definitely the home of vibes and entertainment. You know, it's just, to me, I just really would love to see us as an industry way bigger. You know, reggae and dancehall definitely deserves a seat at the table in, like, just the fundamental, the fundamental of music in general. We definitely influence a lot of other cultures, and you can see right now it's the cool thing to be Jamaican, you know. So that's, it's just right. A matter of maximizing on that, us as a brand and as a people. And you're definitely right. Right now, there's definitely an intense interest in Jamaican artists from labels and other like major music platforms, because something special is brewing. You know, Coffee, an 18-year-old girl collector Grammy last year. You know, I think that also opened up a lot of opportunities for a lot of artists here.
100%, 100%, and bring them. It's wonderful for reggae.
For sure.
Now, I know you've got to go, so I'm not going to keep you much longer, but the tour has been rescheduled. Is that correct?
Yes, it has. I'm not sure to when exactly yet, but, you know, we didn't really have a choice.
No, I know.
So I guess we're trying. I haven't really heard anything much more about it. To me, I kind of just wrote off this entire year. Don't think any traveling or anything like that could happen for the rest of the year, but who knows? Things are liable to change. But for me, I'm really just more focused on being here, trying to maximize on what I can while I'm at home with limited things to do, you know, and that's just what I'm focused on right now.
I think you should carry on focusing on exactly whatever it is you've been focusing on, because it's wonderful to watch. It's an absolute joy to watch Lila Ike do her thing. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, well, the pleasure was mine. Thank you for speaking with me. Really appreciated this interview, you know.